So, the Exalted One was going his rounds of the lodgings with the Venerable Ananda in attendance, and came to the lodging of that brother. There's a second point to notice here. The Enlightened One, the Exalted One, was going his rounds of the lodgings. The word for lodging in the original is vihara. That's all vihara really means. It doesn't mean a monastery, it means a lodging. So we mustn't imagine that the Buddha was going his rounds of a large, palatial, well-furnished monastery. The lodgings in question were probably in clusters of little thatched huts scattered over a certain area of parkland, just a few miles outside the city gates. Anyway, the Buddha was making his rounds of them. In other words, he was taking a personal interest in the monks, how they were getting on, what they were doing, how they were passing their time. There was, of course, no question of them sitting outside their thatched huts, reading newspapers or listening to transistor radios or even watching TV. But they might possibly have been up to other things that they shouldn't have been up to. They might have needed some encouragement or a little teaching or even a little ticking off. So the Buddha was going his rounds of the lodgings. He was seeing things for himself. And in this way, he and Ananda came to the lodging of that brother. Now the Exalted One saw that brother lying where he had fallen in his own excrements, and seeing him, he went towards him, came to him, and said, "Brother, what ails you?"
"I have dysentery, Lord."
"But is there anyone taking care of you, brother?"
"No, Lord."
"Why is it, brother, that the brethren do not take care of you?"
"I am useless to the brethren, Lord. Therefore the brethren do not take care of me." Now, there are quite a number of points that could be noticed here. First of all, that the Buddha goes towards the sick monk, that he asks him what is wrong with him, that he gets pretty quickly to the bottom of the matter. All these points could be enlarged upon, but perhaps that isn't necessary. Their significance perhaps is sufficiently obvious. The main point of this section is contained in the sick monk's last reply to the Buddha. "I am useless to the brethren, Lord. Therefore the brethren do not care for me. Don't look after me." And this is really a very significant statement indeed. It's a very shocking statement, a very terrible statement. Before going into it, I want to make just one comment, general comment. Here, as elsewhere in this passage, as elsewhere in the canon and so on, we have only the bare words to go by, the bare words on the printed page. We don't know how those words were spoken. And this, of course, can make a big difference. For instance, how did the Buddha say, "Why is it, brother, that the brethren do not take care of you?" Did he say it indignantly? Or with concern? Or sadly? And how did the sick monk, lying there in his own excrements, say, "I am useless to the brethren, Lord. Therefore the brethren do not take care of me"? Was it with dignity? Or with resignation? Or with weariness? Or with bitterness and anger? We don't know. All we have is the bleak, shocking, terrible statement itself. "I am useless to the brethren, Lord. Therefore the brethren do not care for me." So what does this imply? It implies, sadly, that people are interested in you only so long as you are useful to them. Only so long as they can get something out of you. It implies that they see you not as a person, but as a thing. And this distinction between treating a person as a person and treating a person as a thing was first introduced into Western thought by the philosopher Kant. Or at least it was given currency, or wider currency, by him. To treat a person as a thing is to treat him unethically. And this was how the other monks, apparently, were treating the sick monk. They were treating him as a thing, not treating him as a person. He was not useful to them. Therefore, they were not interested in him. He was left lying there in his own excrements. No one took care of him. In other words, there was no kindness between the sick monk and the other monks, as there was between the Buddha and Ananda. There was no friendship. There was no ordinary human friendship, what to speak of spiritual friendship. Not only was there no kindness, no friendship, there was no sympathy. There was no sensitivity. There was no awareness. How could there be? These are qualities you can have, can experience, only in relation to a person, not a thing. Only in relation to a person you actually see as a person. The other monks did not see the sick monk as a person. They saw him as a thing. To them, he was like an old, worn-out broom or a broken pot. He was useless to them. So, they did not care for him. Now, I need hardly remind you that we ourselves often behave like this. Often, we see people as things, treat them as things, consider them primarily in terms of their usefulness. And we do this even within the movement, even within the spiritual community. It sometimes takes the form of seeing somebody more in terms of their talents and capacities. That would say that they're a good bricklayer, or a good accountant, or a good lecturer. And being interested more in their talents, not so much in what they are, so to speak, in themselves. And when you are no longer able or willing to employ your talents, you may have the disappointing and disillusioning experience that nobody wants to know you anymore. Nobody wants to be friends, inverted commas, with you anymore. So we must learn to see persons as persons. There must be kindness between us. There must be friendship, spiritual friendship, as there was between the Buddha and Ananda. There must be sympathy, sensitivity, awareness.